time for another WNST Baltimore Sports News Update. Here's Luke Jones.
New Orioles manager Craig Albernaz, Mike Elias, and David Rubenstein met with the media at Camden Yards on Tuesday.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the warehouse as we introduce the next manager of the Baltimore Orioles, Craig Albernaz. I'd like to recognize all the fans and anyone watching on Masson Live and the Orioles social channels. Up here on the dais with us today, we have Orioles President of Baseball Operations and General Manager Mike Elias, Orioles Control Owner David Rubenstein, and the new manager of the Baltimore Orioles, Craig Albernaz. Before we get into today's program, I'd like to recognize a couple of people in the audience. First, Cleveland Guardians manager Stephen Vogt and his wife Alyssa. Thank you both for being here today. Members of Craig's family, his wife Genevieve, his sons CJ and Norman, and his daughter Gigi. Thank you all for being here. With that, I'll turn it over to Orioles President of Baseball Operations and General Manager Mike Elias.
Thanks, Nate. Good morning, everybody, and thank you for coming. Big day for us and the organization. So much to say about a hire like this and the importance of it. The job managing the Baltimore Orioles is rich with tradition. Some of the best managers in our game have occupied this spot over the years. And so when we are approaching a process like this, it is a full organizational effort, and it's something that we put every bit of our capability behind and do our best to get it right and have it be something that's going to impact the organization for a long time and create a lot of stability around the organization. And I want to acknowledge all of the baseball ops and other aspects of this organization, ownership, so much of our leadership getting involved in this decision in what was a very thorough process and a very extensive search. I also want to thank the Cleveland organization, the Guardians, Chris Antonetti, Stephen Vogt. I think it's amazing that you came all the way across country to be a part of this press conference, and the graciousness that they afforded us in giving us time to talk to Craig as we also talk to many other candidates. This is a process that takes several weeks, if not more than that, requires every resource that the department has at its availability. And we are absolutely elated to welcome Craig to the organization. Craig is somebody that's built a very strong coaching career and a reputation as one of the up-and-coming managerial talents, but also overall coaching and player development talents in the sport now for several years. There are many things that attracted us to him in this position. I think a big one is the places that he's worked. I mean, it starts with Cleveland and the fact that he spent the last two seasons very successfully as right-hand man to one of the best managers in the game right now, but also having worked with the Tampa Bay Rays, San Francisco Giants, and Cleveland, demonstrating the ability to transition successfully across those organizations, learn from those organizations, and all the knowledge and skill that he's built up through his catching and playing career, but also minor league manager career, major league coaching career. There's a lot there. We feel that he's ready to hit the ground running. We feel like we have a team that has a really good shot to bounce back next year and be a team that can make the playoffs, but also hopefully make a deep playoff run and in pursuit of a World Series. And I think, and our department thinks, that Craig is the right leader for the next phase of this team and its maturation, but also for the 2026 season and beyond. So we're super excited to introduce him today. We have a lot of work to get to this offseason. He's going to join with the front office in making those moves and assessing how we want to navigate this offseason. But, we're already working full steam ahead on our very long agenda of off-season business. So without further ado, and we'll take questions, I would love to present Craig with his first Orioles jersey and hat and turn it over to him.
Yeah. Good sizing, Fred.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Before we get into questions, Greg is going to open with a statement.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Appreciate those kind words. Thank you for the process and your whole group, front office group. It was great to connect with them, get to know them. And that's what just made this decision easy on my part, was you and your group and how easy it was to navigate those conversations. David, thank you for this opportunity to talk with you and obviously Michael Arrighetti as well. Thank you for the opportunity. Also, the Cleveland Guardians for allowing me to even pursue this, Chris Antonetti, Mike Chernoff, Matt Forman in particular, Stephen Vogt. It's not, I want to get emotional, I'm an emotional guy, but it's not every day you get to work with one of your good friends in this game and share the dugout with them and learn a lot. Learn a lot every step of the way for me to be able to take this job. So, Bodie, thank you. Two-time manager year coming up. I'll plug that for you right now. Obviously, my mom and dad, my sister would not be here with them. You know, my upbringing, the sacrifices they made since I was young in this game of baseball. And obviously, I can't do this without my beautiful wife, Genevieve. As you can hear, my kids, you'll get to know them really. You get to know them well this year. CJ, Norman, and Gigi, I love you guys and thank you. I'm just excited. This is a dream come true for me. You know, when you start coaching, you don't think about being a big league manager, at least I didn't. But as you navigate your relationships, navigate certain teams, and you can kind of see that's something that you want to do and a goal you want to obtain. And to do it in such a historic franchise as the Baltimore Orioles, it really is a dream come true. And I just can't wait for the fans to come out to watch our boys compete, because we're going to play a very exciting brand of baseball. And as Mike alluded to, it's going to be a great bounce back year for this group. And I can't wait. I'm excited. Thank you.
At this time, we're going to open it up to questions. If you have questions, just please raise your hand. We'll try to get you a mic. When you introduce yourself, please let Craig know who you are, who you work for, and then who your question is for.
Rakabatko with Masson. Craig, how much of Cleveland specifically are you bringing to Baltimore here? How much of what worked with the Guardians do you think you can implement here to make it work?
Yeah, I think it's player dependent, right? And I think it depends on the players. And that's one thing that Cleveland does really well. And the same thing with the Tampa Bay Rays, it's the player personnel you have. And I think you guys, everyone in Baltimore can see the Baltimore Ravens and what John Harbaugh has done, you know, with going from Joe Flacco to Lamar Jackson. I mean, that's a big change. And I think the best coaches, the best managers in this game, they adapt to the players around them. They don't have one set way of doing things. And that's the way I see this is, you know, myself and the coaching staff are going to really hone in on our players' strengths. And, yes, we're going to, you know, help them develop their weaknesses, but we just want to bring out their players' strengths and let it shine.
Josh Tolentino with the Baltimore Sun. Welcome to Baltimore, Craig. Question for Mike. At what point during the interview process did you know Craig was your guy? Was it something he said, or you know, someone that you might have spoken to on background? At what point did you know he was the guy to lead the O's?
You know, it happens fairly quickly in my experience. You know, you go into a process for a high level position like a major league manager. You are by nature going to get encountered with a candidate pool that's extremely impressive across the board, and just people that come in different shapes and sizes and profiles, so to speak. But everyone is really highly qualified, or they wouldn't have made it into a process like that. So you meet a lot of impressive people. But sitting down with Craig and hearing the feedback that we got from the many other people that interviewed him, it was clear that this was just a really good fit all around. Like I said, the places he's worked, the kind of philosophies that he's developed, I think his personality and personal style will be a really good fit for what our group needs, but also in this town and in this market. So just an all-around fit, and I was very struck by him, you know, once we got done spending the first day with him. But we continued to spend many more days and weeks completing the process, but also doing a lot of background work, which was also very helpful for his case.
He said sizes too, so probably on the short side of the candidate pool. Thanks, Mike.
Jake Rill with MLB.com. Craig, you said you agree with Mike that you think this team can bounce back next year. What would you just like about this team on paper, the roster, and why do you feel like this team could bounce back next year?
The talent just jumps right at you. I mean, even playing them this year, like, yeah, it was a down year, a lot of injuries, but the talent up and down the roster is impressive. And when you have a group of young players that get to the big leagues and have success, like in 23, and they have a rough 25, like, it's really tough to curate that adversity for young players to go through. And so for them to have it happen on the biggest stage, again, dealing with the injuries, you know, I wouldn't say poor performance, but, you know, they could perform better in their eyes. So it's great to see that the work they're putting in this offseason to come out next year and really take on that challenge.
Jerry Coleman with the Bay, 100.7. I have a question for Mike and for Mr. Rubenstein. Mike, first of all, in terms of the coaching staff, have you notified people of their position, guys that were with the team, and is Craig going to be allowed to bring in his own staff? Mr. Rubenstein, my question to you is a little deeper in terms of going forward. We haven't heard from you in a while, so I think the fans want to know in terms of what your plan is and spending and making this ball club and the experience a lot better. There is some skepticism out there because we haven't heard from you in quite some time, so I know the fans are anxious.
I make speeches every day somewhere. I mean, I don't know. People think I'm talking too much usually, but okay, why don't we answer the first question first?
To the coaching staff, in the background, there's a lot of activity and work going on that front. Different conversations happening with different returning coaches or coaches that are still in the organization. Not really the time or place to get in all that, but suffice to say, there will be alterations to the composition of the staff. That's normal year to year, but also when you have a manager change, we definitely want the ability for him to put his stamp on the staff. I think a big part of our hire and knowing the talent that we're bringing into the organization with a guy like Craig Albernaz is we want him to ply his trade and have an impact in the clubhouse, on the field, with the way that our team prepares, trains, competes. And part of that is choosing some staff members around you. So we're collaborating together on it, but it's something that I want him to be able to shape, and we'll handle that business the next few weeks as best we can.
So to answer your question, we don't have particular constraints. We're going to try to get the best players we can. Mike is leading that effort and has already talked about a number of possibilities with us. But I want to just talk about our new manager. Mike interviewed a number of people, so did I. And from the beginning, when we were talking to people, people said, well, this person you're interviewing is good, but if you can get Craig, you'd really be, you know, fortunate. Everybody kept saying, he's the guy you should get. You may not be lucky enough to get him, but if you can get him, that's the guy you want. So when we talked to him, we realized why everybody said that. He's very impressive. Despite his accent, we think he can learn how to speak Baltimoreese. And we also thought he had, by far, the cutest 2-year-old daughter in Major League Baseball. And she's here, and the star of the show. So, and his great sons as well. So we're really excited to have him here. If you read about his background, he's been a leader everywhere he's ever been. People always say he's a take-charge person who has made every organization he's been at better because he was there. So we were thrilled when he agreed to accept the offer, and we're looking forward to many, many years with him and us. So, we are now going to spend a lot of time seeing what is out there and what other players we can bring to the team and strengthen the team. Last year, we had a lot of injuries. I think in Major League Baseball history, virtually nobody had as many players on a roster as we did. I think we had 70 players at one point on that roster. I think the record was like 71 in the history of baseball. So 70 people played on our roster at one point. So that's a lot of injuries. It's not likely we're going to have that again. So if we get a healthy team, and some of the players we're going to add, and the great manager we have, I think we're in pretty good shape. Remember, Toronto was in last place the year before they went to the World Series. They were in last place before they went to the World Series. So you can come back from the bottom, and we expect to do that.
Craig, welcome to Baltimore. Matt Weyer, the Baltimore Sun. What's the culture that you plan to build here within the clubhouse and the, your side of the baseball operations, and where do you kind of pull the experience from with working with young players and getting the most out of them?
Yeah, the culture is set by the players. Us as a coaching staff, front office, we support the players. You know, at the end of the day, coaches don't play, front office members don't play, the players play in between the lines. It's all about the boys, and that's something that will drive that culture is the players in that clubhouse, and we're going to be there to support them every step of the way. You know, I'm a firm believer in leadership comes in different ways and styles. You don't have to be a veteran to be a leader. You could be a young guy, and everyone leads by example or leads in their own way. And so it's up to me to figure out how each player ticks, get to know them, and then allow them to go out and play carefree baseball.
Hi, Craig. Kyle Goon with the Baltimore Banner. Welcome to Baltimore.
Thank you.
Two questions about your approach. I know this is hopefully not too sprawling, but you know, what is your approach to analytics and data that's going to be offered to you by analytics staffers? And it's been almost a decade, or I think more than a decade, since the Orioles' last playoff win, even though they've had some very successful regular seasons. What, in your view, is the most important component to a successful playoff team?
Yeah. The first question is, I love the information. I want all the information. Those data points have been available for years now, like batting average, ERA, that's all data points. But now, like, you can now get a little bit granular and, you know, there's better information. And me and my coaching staff, we're going to want that information. But that's only a piece of the puzzle. You know, I talk about it in, like, you're trying to place good bets on the field. Those numbers, those data points help you place those bets. But it's not 100% certainty. You know, at the end of the day, the players go out and play, like I talked about before. So it's equipping them with the right information at the right time that's digestible. But also getting the players' feedback and listening to your players. You know, because certain things might not land for the player, or, you know, there's other aspects of the game that's going on with the player, and that's why you have to know the player. So analytics is just a piece of how we're going to go about our business in the clubhouse and on the field. To your second point, baseball's hard. It's such a hard game, and there's no level above this. Some players should get called up to the next level, but there's no level above this, so... You know, like Mike, like David alluded to with the Blue Jays, like you just don't know. And that's the beauty of baseball. Like you can have like a 162-game season is the toughest thing to navigate in sports. Even the Dodgers this year, like they spent all that money. Yes, they won the World Series, but it was a grind for them to get there. It wasn't a cakewalk through the 162-game season. So for us, it's just taking one day at a time, try to win today and have our players get better each day. And then when we look up at 162, you know, hopefully we punch our ticket into the playoffs, and then anything can happen.
Hey, Andy Kuska from the Baltimore Banner. Nice to meet you and welcome.
Hey, Andy.
Yeah, I'm curious. You said you want this team to play a very exciting brand of baseball. Can you dive into what the offensive philosophy is for your club? Obviously, it's going to be dictated a little bit by players and mm-hmm. coaching staff, but how do you envision that looking?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you watch the game of baseball, you have to have a diverse offense. I mean, I think anyone would want any of their teams to go out and hit 10 home runs a night. You can sign me up for that, but like I said, this is a hard game. So for us, we have to be a diverse offense. You know, we have to do the little things right. You know, when guys are struggling or going through a little rut, like you have to find a way to keep the line moving and be productive for your team and for the organization. So that's something we're going to preach about, just being a more diverse offense. And so we're going to have a number of ways to beat you. Swap mics.
Hi, Craig. I'm
Andy,
Rich.
Good team player. Yeah. Nice job, man.
Hi. I'm Rich Dubois from BaltimoreBaseball.com. When you watch this team play, and I know you didn't get to see him play after the trade deadline, but I assume you've been watching a lot of tape of him. in the last few weeks. What stood out to you, and what from watching that do you see should be and can be improved?
I mean, the athleticism just jumps out at you, and there's a sure talent of everyone on this roster. And, you know, like I said previously, it was a tough year for a lot of those guys, and they went through some adversity. So, you know, these guys bouncing back, like they're going to have a little chip on the shoulder, and it's already going into the off season with the way these guys are working. So for me, it's just making sure me and my coaching staff put these guys in the best chance to succeed and let their talents come to fruition. And we're going to double down on their strengths and what makes them great. But also we're going to talk to the players and listen to them. You know, like I said, the players play, and it'll be tough for us as a coaching staff to come in and dictate how we want things done. The players are going to lead that. And it will be a collaborative effort with the players and our coaching staff, and also with the front office, because that's what high-functioning organizations do. It's a collaborative effort across the board, you know, because we're all here to support our players, and our players have to feel that, and they will.
Hi, Craig. Steve Molesky with Substack. You have a reputation of helping keep teams loose, you know, even going back to your minor league managing days. When you're the manager of a major league team, yep. Can you still do that? How will you do that? And how does that balance with the tough conversations you may have to have during the course of the season?
It's funny. When I first started coaching in the minor leagues, I remember talking to my wife, Genevieve, of like, now that I'm a coach, do I have to change who I am? Do I have to change the music I listen to? And it was just a joke and laughing, but I'm just going to be me. That's all I know. Players want to know who's in their corner that's authentic and real. And they need a sounding board and someone that they can talk to. And tough conversations always happen. Like it's a part of the game. I'm not scared to have a tough conversation, do it all the time. But when it comes from a place of truth and a place of care and love, like you have to have those tough conversations. And like Joe Maddon said it, you know, years ago, that if you tell a player the truth, he might be mad at you for a day. If you lie to him, you lost him forever. So that's something where we have to be truthful and honest, but also, I'm going to keep it loose. It's baseball. You know, we're with each other 162 games for the season. We're with each other more than our families, and it's baseball. And guys play at the best when they're having fun and just playing the kids' game.
Hi, Craig. I'm Chelsea from the Washington Post. Nice to meet you and welcome.
Thank you.
Wanted to quickly ask, I know you go back with Blake Butera, what did you think of seeing him get hired? And have you guys had any conversations about managing so close to one another in your first years here?
I am so proud of Blake. I'm more proud of Blake for getting that job than me sitting here, which is crazy to say. Me and Blake have a close relationship. When he first got drafted as a player, that was my first year coaching, was on the same team. My first year managing the minor leagues was his first year coaching. We were together on the same staff. I'm just so pumped for him and Caroline. Don't want to get emotional, but I'm just proud of him. Just being so young at 33 and taking that job. We talk every day, so we were keeping each other in the loop at every step of the way, and I couldn't be prouder to be his friend.
Peter Schmuck, BaltimoreBaseball.com. This is a question for Mike. I'm sure you watched some of the World Series if you had time. You guys acknowledge that, you know, obviously the Blue Jays went from last to first, and that, you know, that makes illustrates it's possible. Is there anything else from the way they played and against pretty high odds going into the series that you can take away the construction of the team or the manner in which they played and apply here?
The Blue Jays?
Right.
Well, it was impressive. I mean, I watched the World Series. I thought it was incredible historic World Series with a couple of the best games that we've ever had, and it was exciting to see. And as David alluded to, I think it speaks to the strength of our division. Everyone talks about the American League East, gets a little tired after a while, but we have five really good teams and really good organizations in this division right now, and there's no one rebuilding. You know, everybody's going for it, and so we all kind of get into the cage match every year and see what happens. And I thought it was a very talented team. It has been a very talented team even last year when things didn't work out too well for them. But I think what they demonstrated is
the right mix, made some changes, and they were able to kind of replace the mojo that they've been lacking the last couple of years, and that team was really close and played with a lot of flow all year round. But, you know, our team played really well against the Blue Jays in 2025, and it just goes to show how close the talent level is and remains in this division. So we're going to lean on Craig and the coaching staff and the moves that we make this winter and hopefully get things into a much better place. Very confident that we will.
Let me just add that I went to the opening game in Toronto, and we won that game last year, the away game, and I said, well, I feel bad for the Toronto. They're not that good a team. But obviously my perceptions of who is a good and bad team is probably not so great. But what the World Series showed to me is that baseball retains its hold on the American public. The fan viewership of that series was spectacular. The numbers are very, very good. And shows when you have really great baseball, American people really want to watch it, and people overseas too. Enormous amount of overseas attention. So baseball, while people have criticized it over the years as being somewhat left behind in terms of football or basketball, the truth is American people have a feel for baseball and a love for baseball that was typified by the viewership of that World Series, and that hopefully will bring a lot of that to the team this year. We have, as we go into the new season, we are, as you can see, we're constructing some changes in Camden Yards. These will make the place even better. It's more than 30 years old, so we're making some changes. We'll have some premier seats, as other stadiums do. It's the semi-quincentennial year, so it'll be a big celebration. A lot of games for the 250th anniversary of the country. And I like to remind people all the time that at every game in Major League Baseball, people are singing a song that was crafted in Baltimore. And so Baltimore has great roots in baseball and great roots in our country's history. And I think in the next year, we're going to have a great team, got some new players, a great new manager, and I hope all of you will be here to enjoy it.
Cordell Woodland from 105.7, The Fan. Craig, welcome to Baltimore. This question is for Mike. Mike, this is now your third manager, I guess if you counted Mazzolino with the interim tag last year. How different will your day-to-day interactions be with Craig compared to the previous two, whether that's more support and more dialogue or maybe less, and you know, giving him that space to do his own thing?
It's a very close working relationship, GM, manager. I mean, it's extraordinarily close and communicative. Very important for me, recognizing that fact and the degree of communication and collaboration that's required for a successful partnership, that you feel some personal rapport with the person that you're hiring and making sure that communication is going to come naturally. And so, you know, that's something that you look for in this process too. But if done right, you know, it's a huge extension of the front office, but it's also a position that provides a lot of balance and a check on the front office. And so you, in Craig's case, really value the experience that he's had at three different organizations and the type of perspective that he's built that's going to help us kind of collaborate on our decision-making process in a healthy way.
Hey Craig, Jacob Meyer from the Baltimore Sun. Congrats. I know you mentioned it in your opening statement, but how much does your family mean to you, and how has that changed being a father? How has that changed you as a person and maybe also as a coach?
Yeah, I mean, my kids are the greatest gift I can ever have. I love you too, Gigi. Love you guys. Yeah, they keep me grounded. You know, they don't care if we win or lose, except for CJ. He's locked in. He's invested, but... Yeah, when you have kids, it just changes the whole perspective of life and the game of baseball. Not in a it wasn't in a negative way before, but you just hold.
Okay, here we go. Here's the real star.
IGG. You want to sit with Daddy?
Yeah.
Okay. You say hi.
Hi.
Okay. But yeah, it makes life so much more enjoyable than having them around the field. They'll be around a lot, so get used to it. Yeah, they like to be hitting the cage and stuff, so it's just great.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And then, obviously, my wife, Genevieve, I don't know how she does it with three kids when I'm doing this, so she's a real rock star of the family.
Hi, Craig. Britt Giroli with The Athletic. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You were involved in previous years' processes with Chicago and Miami. I'm wondering what specifically about this job made it the right fit for you, and did you feel like at the time you needed to go back in the dugout with Steven and get more experience? I mean, what was that process like, because you were involved and close to becoming a manager at other places?
Yeah, I think, you know, last year was more to do with where I was at, right, in Cleveland, just being around, obviously, one of your good friends and learning in Cleveland, and also, you know, being around their front office and learning more. You know, I think at that point in time, you know, I felt like I was ready, but, you know, deep down, you're just kind of like, when you want to take that next step, you know, it's a big job. And I want to make sure that whatever organization I go to, I was, like, really ready to jump in and dive in. And, you know, going through the process, you know, with Mike and meeting David and the rest of the team in the front office, to me, it was an easy decision. Getting to know everyone. I mean, I would probably think that Mike would tell you that you probably wish I was a little pep in my step, as they say, with the process. But, you know, I was kind of just being, you know, very thorough and, you know, looping in, you know, the people that I surround myself with to get their input. And, you know, as you go through it, the clarity just became true that, you know, I want to be in Baltimore and be in Baltimore Oriole and be in this organization and
hey, give me my Oreo.
And be in that dugout with those group of players. Thanks, CJ.
Hi, Craig. Over here, Pete Gilbert with WBIL-TV. Welcome. And Gigi, of course, welcome as well. Hi, Gigi.
You say hi.
Right here. Oh, thank you. As a non-MLB player, it's not obviously new to be a manager in that role, but what have you learned about having not gotten to the big leagues but dealing with the best athletes in the world and getting them to listen to you and that relationship and building with that? What have you learned about doing that?
Yeah, players just want to be coached, and that's what I learned. Players just want to get better, even if they play. You know, the reason why guys play 10 years in the big leagues is because they continually get better. And for me, and players just want to know that you have their right interests in mind, and to get them better. There's no ulterior motives. You know, all players want to make as much money as they can. And they want coaches in their corner, people in their corner that can help them do that. And also, by turn, it helps them, you know, helps the team they're with win a lot of games. And, you know, players see through when you're being fake. So you have to be a truth teller. You have to be authentic to yourself. And that's something that I pride myself on ever since I first started coaching. And that's something that's never going to change.
And I would point out that we had another manager who was in the Hall of Fame who never played in the major leagues, named Earl Weaver. And Earl Weaver was also not a tall person. He's actually shorter than our new manager.
You said it.
Right, he was 2 inches.
I can post him up, David.
Yeah, he was 2 inches shorter. Yeah. So being under 6 feet and not having played in the major leagues is not a big problem.
Craig, John Muley with the Baltimore Banner, welcome. You've mentioned a couple times listening to the players and taking their feedback. If you've had a chance to speak to some of the players on this roster, what has their message and what they feel like they need from you going to be? And if you haven't had a chance to really get to know them at the level you want, what is the plan to do that?
Yeah, I think I talked about 6-7 of the players. Thought my kids put me up to it.
6-7.
No, I think I reached out to like 6-7 of them, to be honest with you. And it's just to get to know them, obviously introduce myself and get to know who they are. And come to find out, a couple of our guys either have fiancés or wives with the two first names. So that's fun to see. But yeah, I think right now it's just, obviously it's been chaos in the best way possible, you know, the past, you know, week or so. And so now I'm just trying to dive in with the players and get to know them. We haven't really shared too much about, you know, what's going to take place on the field in spring training. And like I said, just try to get to know them, get to know how they tick, and then we can kind of dive in as the offseason moves along.
Nick Testoni, WBAL Radio, over here, Craig. Congratulations.
Thank you.
With your minor league career primarily as a catcher, just curious on your thoughts of your two primary catchers you're going to be having in Baltimore in Adley Rutschman and Samuel Basayo.
Yeah, I'm excited. You know, Adley and Basayo both have a ton of talent. Obviously, Basayo, you know, coming in like with relatively, you know, not a lot of experience at the big league level, but you can see the talent just jump right out you. And Adley has, you know, made his name known even before he got to the big leagues, and, you know, his pedigree behind the plate. And so that's something that, you know, obviously I'm biased towards catching. And, you know, having a great tandem behind the plate, you know, should help us, you know, win a lot of games in itself. And with those two guys, like, I'm gonna lean on them a lot. I'm going to give them a lot of information as far as how to help lead this team, our pitching staff, and, you know, and also hold the coaches accountable, you know, because a high-functioning team, those catchers are involved in a lot of the processes, and you want to get a lot of their feedback. And that's something that I'm going to really lean on them throughout the course of the year.
Hey, Craig. Luke Jones, WNST. Welcome. This question is for you and for Mike. You're obviously coming from a team that reputation for having excellent defense the last couple of years, especially. In your conversations and going through this process, how much was defense talked about? I mean, you alluded to the athleticism of the players, but at least with some of the public-facing metrics, defensively, this club hasn't been as good the last couple of years. How much of a priority is defense and improving that here?
Yeah, I think in any baseball team, defense should be a priority. You know, ball security, making the right decisions, you know, first and third defense. I mean, if you watch the World Series game, especially Game 7, there was a lot of, you know, baseball plays that happened. And if you don't take pride in those aspects of the game, you know, that's how you lose that game. And, like, that comes with PFPs, controlling the running game, all that little stuff. That's something that we're going to be doing a lot of in spring training, because these guys are so talented. They're going to work religiously with our hitting coaches, you know, and our pitchers are going to work on their shapes. But when it comes to the baseball side of things, that's something that you can control as a player and as a coaching staff, and that's something that's going to be at the forefront.
Craig, Stan Charles with PressBox. David mentioned Earl Weaver, and Earl's autobiography was entitled "It's What You Learn After You Know It All That Counts," and he was a big believer in that as a mantra. Does that resonate with you at all?
Yeah, because I don't know it all. I know for a fact that I am by far not the smartest person in baseball, and that's why I like to lean on everyone around me. Coaching staff, players, front office, you know, everyone has an input, everyone has a say in kind of what we do on the field. And I need all that input from me and that feedback, because sometimes you get a little too close to the action and your views get a little jaded, and you need the checks and balances of either, like I said, the coaching staff or front office members as well to kind of, you know, keep the main thing, and that's something I'm really going to rely on, is that collaborative effort.
Hi, Craig. Morgan Adsit with Fox 45. Welcome. Congrats.
Thank you.
You've talked about what the roster talent currently has. We know it will be evolving. What are some of the wish list needs you would like to see for your roster when you do see them in February, March?
Yeah. Whatever Mike wants to cook up. That's what Mike does best, go out in the offseason and cook. No, I trust Mike. I trust his group. For me, as a manager of the team, it's all about who the players are in the clubhouse. You know, I'm not going to, you know, talk about who we should get. That's not my job. That's Mike's job. He's pretty good at it. Actually, really good at it. Please, Mike.
Yep. Yeah. Okay.
But no, like, my job is just the players in the clubhouse. So, you know, whoever's in there, we're going to pour into them and get the most out of them.
Josh Tolentino again with the Baltimore Sun. This question's for David.
Remix.
Your mic. I'm sorry.
You're sitting close.
Forget the mic. Just
Mike.
Say, what's the question?
Yeah, question for David. Late in the season, we found out Mike had been promoted, a move that wasn't initially publicized. This is our first time speaking with you since. In your mind, what did he do to warrant that, despite the team still waiting on a postseason breakthrough? And part two of that question, just what excites you most about the pairing of Craig and Mike, as Mike said they'll be working together very closely?
Well, on the second part of your question, Mike talked to a few people, and he was extremely excited about Craig. And when I talked to him, I was as well. So is Mike Arrighetti. And so we think it's a great combination. They get along well. So it was something where nobody said this was a mistake. Everybody we talked to said, you're lucky if you can get him, but you won't be able to get him. Because I think he'd had a number of other managerial offers, and he turned them down. So it wasn't that easy to persuade him to do this. So we were able to do it, and we're very fortunate. On Mike, Mike was American League Executive of the Year a few years ago. He knows baseball inside out. He's shy and doesn't like to promote himself, so we didn't make a big announcement about it. But Mike deserves everything that he has received from the Orioles. He's done a spectacular job, and we have great confidence in him for many, many years into the future.
So. Craig. One of the questions Mike faced a lot in this process was, are you going to bring in somebody with experience? You obviously are entering your first major league managerial job, but how much did your time in Cleveland under Steven here enable you to kind of see through the managerial lens and give you the experience to put you in a position to be ready for this opportunity?
Yeah, I'm forever grateful for Vody. I mean, being in Cleveland with that group, with Chris, Mike, and Matt, and obviously working alongside of Vody, you know, they brought me into pretty much every meeting, every conversation they had. So I got to see the inner works and all those conversations, what really goes into being a big league manager. It's not just being in a dugout with the coaching staff and the boys. It's a lot of your day is consumed by what happens before the game. So kind of get to see that, like, really open up my eyes and being able to navigate those conversations. And then also, you know, there's the leader that Vody is, the communicator with the coaching staff and the players, and now how he goes about just being a great person, who he is, and that's something that I learned from him, and that's something I'm forever grateful for.
Time for one more question.
Jerry Coleman from over at the Be More Baseball podcast in the Bay. It's for you, Mr. Rubenstein. After referencing the World Series and what the Blue Jays were able to accomplish going from last to first, and also what the Dodgers did, a lot of talk about spending. These are two of the top five, I think, spending in all of baseball. Does that mean that's what the Orioles have to do in your mind? I know you've referenced a salary cap in the past because it just feels like that's the way baseball is headed.
Well, there's no doubt that a lot of attention has been paid to that. We have the resources to acquire the players that we need to make the team work. So we don't have particular financial constraints. We have an investor group that's pretty deep-pocketed, and so we're able to do what we need to do. And so we will do that. Mike has a lot of authority to go out and find the best players that we can get. And, of course, it's not always the case that the highest payroll wins. Clearly, the last couple of years, that's probably been the case, but that's not always the case. And so we don't feel we need to break records by setting payroll records, but we think we want to get good players who want to be a part of an organization that really is very cohesive, part of helping to rebuild Baltimore. Baltimore itself is a very exciting place to live, and we're on the rebound. We think the organization is going to be much better next year because of the stadium is going to excite a lot of fans. We've got a lot of things going on in Baltimore. And so we are going to rely a lot on what Mike and his team can do with Craig, finding good players that want to be here and that can complement what we already have. So we're looking forward to the new season. I hope I'll see some of you down in spring training. And, we're very excited about the new year. And I particularly want to thank Craig for bringing his family. And Genevieve, would you like to say anything? No?
Put you right in the spot.
No?
I love
you want
it.
To come up here and say anything? No. Okay. So we have a great new addition to the Orioles family with a great family. And no doubt the star is his daughter. And I'm sure we'll be seeing much of her during the season. So thank you all very much for coming. And thank you for coming. And thank your family for coming. And thank the Cleveland Guardians for letting you show up here. I hope you don't get in trouble for doing that. And thank you all for organizing this. Thank you.
You're the manager of the year. You can do whatever you want.
Right.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.